pets and COVID-19. It's not just the human world turned upside down by the coronavirus pandemic, but also the world of our furry friends. Mostly, it seems, our dogs and cats love having us around more. Well, you never know with cats. But even for dogs, there are downsides to this. Perhaps your local dog park is closed. Maybe you've postponed a scheduled veterinary visit or even surgery. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll talk about how the pandemic is affecting our pets. Local animal shelters and humane societies have seen a surge in adoptions, even though the process has changed. Are you thinking of adding a new canine or feline family member? Are you worried that your pet could catch COVID-19 or spread it by being petted? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The coronavirus pandemic has brought about a rise in the number of pet adoptions. At the same time, people are worried about potential transmission between pets and humans. Today, two veterinarians join us to talk about pet care in the time of COVID-19. Joining me, Dr. Christine Calder, who is Director of Behavioral Services at Midcoast Humane in Brunswick, and Dr. Megan Vaught, a criticalist with the Maine Veterinary Medical Center. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
As
always, we want to hear from you. Have you decided to adopt a pet now that you're spending more time at home? Do you have questions about other pet care issues? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Dr. Vaught, I'll start with you, and I'll ask you, I know that veterinary care has been in Governor Mills' first phase of reopening. What does that mean for you and other veterinarians around the state?
I think for us, it's at least at MVMC, it's not too much different because we've been kind of open all the way through and pretty busy. As an emergency and critical care service, we've been open. Our specialty services were decreased as far as the number of cases we were seeing, trying to just do urgent cases initially, but things are slowly getting more and more back to the normal. We're still doing curbside kind of drop off and phone consults for the most part. But for us, it's not changing too much. I think we'll slowly, with the new kind of step backs, we will slowly increase our appointment schedules and things like that. But the emergency service is always here.
Mm-hmm, the emergency service. And I know a lot of veterinarians around the state are doing the curbside. I know ours is, correct? You come up, you let them know you're there, and they come out and bring, get your dog or cat or ferret or whatever it is you're bringing.
Exactly. Yep. So we have numbered parking spots outside just so that when all the services are moving, we know exactly where you are so we can be as efficient as possible. And then one of the nurses will come out, grab the patient, go through what's been going on or what service they're here to see and have your pet looked at. And then the doctor is mostly going over things over the phone. If we need to, we can also sometimes come outside depending on the situation. But for the most part, we're doing it kind of exactly like that. It's been working pretty well, which is good. At least then we can kind of provide the care that we need to for all of the patients and all of the pets of various sizes in the area.
Dr. Calder, I'm so glad to be talking with you from Midcoast Humane in Brunswick. We've seen the national stories about how pet adoptions are up, surging nationally. Is that what you're seeing in Brunswick as well?
So we've had 108 adoptions since we started adoptions. We opened back up for adoptions by appointment only last month. So yes, I would say they are up so far.
Do you have any animals? I've read about shelters that don't even have any animals left to adopt. Is that the case where you are?
No, we still have some, although it's mainly our behavior dogs that are left. So it's those that have some special behavioral needs that are still in our shelter.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, everybody can understand why someone might want to adopt a pet right now. You're home by yourself anyway. Maybe you've kind of always wanted to do this and you think, well, now I have the time to get to know a pet very well, to walk a pet maybe more often than I would be if I were going into work every day. And also, I would like to have the companionship. What do you want people to ask themselves, though, before they come in and make that commitment?
I think they need to evaluate what their long-term commitment is going to be and what's going to happen when they do go back to work. And, you know, is this dog going to be home alone or is this, and cats, they don't tend to be as, you know, they tend to be okay when they're home alone, not as distressed as some dogs may be. And I think that's important. And also just trying to keep their routine as consistent as possible for these guys as well is important.
Okay. Christine, I want to ask you about COVID-19. Megan, I want to ask you, Dr. Vaught, about COVID-19. We've read that some big cats at the Bronx Zoo have been diagnosed with COVID-19, that some house cats in New York have been diagnosed. Are you seeing potential cases of animals, pets who have COVID-19?
We haven't yet. We don't know 100%, you know, what those likelihoods are and kind of what the picture will look like. But we are screening or being more aware of our patients that are coming in that have acute respiratory signs. But so far, they've had other very distinct reasons like heart failure or asthma or whatnot that isn't related, thankfully. But we are definitely on the lookout. So we haven't had any that I'm aware of in the area, but definitely not here at MVMC. But it is possible. You know, we don't know exactly, unfortunately, based on the studies available, is it just a, you know, transient thing? Is it that they can truly become infected? But it is definitely something that we're going to kind of see more and more of potentially as we learn more and more about this potential virus. But I think just taking those precautions and being careful is important and just having an extra eye out just in case that everyone is safe.
What is your advice, Dr. Vaught, about, you know, petting other people's dogs? I love to do that if I go on a walk. Is there really a concern that if I pet somebody else's dog, I could be catching COVID-19?
It's possible. Unfortunately, if the other family has been exposed or is sick, that the animal's fur can truly act like a fomite or something that can be, you know, kind of holding on to those molecules that then could then be transmitting it to yourself. So I think that they do need to be included on that distancing as much as we want to all agree every other pet. It's something we're also doing here in the hospital is that most pets have a quick little wipe down if they're stable and they don't have wounds or things like that. It's not really feasible to necessarily bathe every dog because they're scared and whatnot coming to the emergency room, but just trying to make sure that we're taking all those precautions. Same with personal belongings at home as we're trying to avoid, you know, contact with leashes and collars. So I think people on the everyday out for walks, it's probably best to say hello from afar.
All right. Dr. Calder, I'm on your website and there's a big red banner, emergency funding urgently needed. Are you seeing donations drop during this pandemic?
No, we're actually seeing them increase during this pandemic. So people have been very generous, you know, and helping and donating and you know, it's been wonderful to see the community outpouring that and the support that we have been receiving during this pandemic.
Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We're talking about pets during this pandemic. And we're also just talking about our pets. If this were not the time of pandemic, we would probably be having veterinarians on Maine Calling to talk about pet care during this time. And I want to sort of pivot a little bit, Dr. Vaught, and ask you about the concerns this time of year. I'm guessing number one is ticks.
Yeah, there's a lot of, especially with the way our weather has been, has it been a big surge in ticks that are outside, and just making sure that your pets are covered with their preventatives. I think we're also, since we're spending a lot more time outside and walking around, we have seen a lot more trauma and potential bite wounds and things like that.
Okay, and Dr. Calder, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I think that's that's important. You know, ticks, I've already found a couple on me, a couple on my dog. So, you know, making sure they've got their preventatives, because this is the time that they're waking up. And, you know, Lyme disease is certainly something that we worry about in this part of the country.
Dr. Vaught, are you worried that people are going to be less willing to bring their animals to the veterinarian right now because of COVID-19 concerns? And if so, what are some of the diseases, what are some of the symptoms of something that really one might stop and say, this is worth, you know, for a human, we would go to the ER if we think we'd broken our leg, for example, or if our child has strep throat. What is the equivalent in the dog and cat world? What should you take your dog in for, even if you're concerned about COVID-19?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are concerned, but I think the nice thing is that just like a lot of other places, there's a lot of precautions that everyone is taking, both to keep the hospital safe, but also all of our clients and families. And so I think just being understanding of those extra steps, and like we said, staying in the car and wearing a face mask as indicated if we do have to come in the building. But otherwise, I think those symptoms are any respiratory signs, if they are having continued vomiting, prolonged, you know, anorexia or not eating, or if they've had trauma of any sort. So they've gotten into a tussle with another animal at home or something outside, and they have major bite wounds, or they were hit by a car. We have seen, you know, a fair bit of toxicities too. So dogs that are getting into things at home that they maybe wouldn't have been exposed to before, like medications and things like that. I think all of those would be really important things to kind of come into the emergency room, or at least you can always call us. We've done a lot more kind of phone triaging too. So if you have questions, you can always speak to one of the nurses and get their thoughts as far as should you come in or could you watch it for a little bit longer at home or follow up with your primary care.
On the line with us now, Gina Roth, who's Director of Community Engagement for the Animal Refuge League of Greater Portland. Gina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Christine Calder. Are you seeing an increase in interest in fostering and adopting pets?
We are. We're seeing a significant increase in the interest. You know, right now we have 211 animals within the Animal Refuge League, and 135 of them are in foster, so more than half. And that is just simply something that we don't see on a regular basis. So we're thankful for the support of the community and that the way that they're contributing their time at home to support animals is really wonderful.
Are you doing adoptions differently now?
We are. We're doing adoptions by appointment, and we've had a decrease in adoptions compared to the same time last year, but that's a result of us not, you know, currently welcoming animals to our shelter from our out-of-state partners, purely for safety reasons during COVID. So while we've celebrated, you know, 205 adoptions since we closed mid-March, last year during that same time, we had over 600 adoptions. So there's a very large interest in the community to adopt right now. And we are, you know, we're hearing from our partners in southern states and across the country that, you know, they're really excited to start sending animals to us again, to find them loving homes here in Maine, because there are so many homes looking for animals right now. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
How are you thinking about that? How are you thinking about when you're going to return to bringing animals up from other states? So we've all seen the videos of the van loads of dogs coming into the state to be adopted. When will that happen again? How will you determine when it's safe to do that again?
Yeah, you know, we're working close with our colleagues in the Maine Animal Welfare Department to figure that out. And, you know, here at the Animal Refuge League, we're still working with shelters in northern Maine. So we've welcomed, you know, just in the last month, about 60 cats to Greater Portland from shelters in northern Maine and Houlton and Caribou. So we're still able to work with our Maine partners. But working with our national partners, definitely we need to keep an eye on safety, you know, during COVID and how that process looks like, because it is very different, you know, being mindful of how we're traveling across the country and that sort of thing. So we're still waiting and anxiously waiting, but pretty soon we can get back to that life-saving work nationwide, which we're excited to do.
Gina, before we let you go, any tips you'd like to share on caring for a new pet?
Yeah, you know, I think Dr. Calder mentioned it earlier. You know, what we're encouraging new adopters, especially dog adopters, is to be really mindful of how they're settling into their new home when their humans are home 24/7. You know, because when their parents, the humans, go back to work, these animals will have some alone time. So we're just being really mindful and encouraging new adopters to give your animals some alone time, so we don't see some separation anxiety and that sort of thing in the future when people do get back to work in a normal routine. So, yeah.
Great point, Gina. Thanks so much for calling in. That's Gina Roth, Director of Community Engagement for the Animal Refuge League of Greater Portland. And I want to follow up on that with you, Christine. Dr. Calder, what would you say, what tips on for new pet owners?
So I agree. You know, separation anxiety is one of the concerns when everyone has to start going back to work and having some alone time. And the other thing that I think is really important is making sure that their pets are getting their basic needs met right now. So, you know, we see a lot of, you know, increase in exercise and that type of thing, but mental stimulation is just as important. So, you know, using things like food dispensing and puzzle toys, snuffle mats, you know, those types of things can be very beneficial in mental stimulation, because they're just as tired if they have to problem solve and exercise their brain. And those are the things that can be very beneficial when they start to go back to work, you know, to really help that animal feel comfortable, you know, being very self-sufficient and interacting with something on their own.
We have two veterinarians with us on Maine Calling today. What are your pet questions? You can give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email, a brief email, to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We are in the middle of our spring membership drive. It is the Pledge From Home membership drive. We're going to take a few minutes to toss to our staff members, our colleagues who are at home waiting for me to take a break. But when we come back, please give us your questions for our veterinarians, Dr. Megan Vaught with Maine Veterinary Medical Center and Dr. Christine Calder at the Midcoast Humane Society.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Andrucki & King, featuring Judy Andrucki, providing private mediation services in matters of family law. AndruckiLaw.com. Miley Auto Malls, welcoming back customers to their showrooms while observing Maine CDC safety guidelines. LeeAuto.com. And by Androscoggin Home Health Care and Hospice, providing compassionate home health, hospice care, and care management. For health, for life, Androscoggin.org.
And we're going to give you a different number to call here now, 1-800-866-1475, and of course online at mainepublic.org to support programs like Maine Calling that you hear each and every day here on Maine Public Radio. Is it perhaps appointment listening for you? Do you always want to be a part of that discussion and hear what's, you know, that civil discourse that we hear so much about? You find it right here on Maine Public Radio with programs like Maine Calling.
And I am Nick Woodward from the TV side of things here at Maine Public, joined by Jennifer Mitchell, a voice you hear often here, especially weekend mornings.
Mm-hmm. And all over the place.
All over the place, everywhere. Yeah. And the same way with Maine Public. It's anywhere you need it to be, in your car, in your home, it's online. It's a station that provides us with so much in so many different ways, and all made possible by so many people. If you are one of those people, we thank you so very much.
Thank you.
If you have yet to make the jump to membership or done a little extra, this is the time to do it. Call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainepublic.org and be part of our Pledge From Home membership campaign.
Pledge From Home membership campaign. We know it might be sounding a little bit different in some ways. You'll hear folks on the phone. We're kind of doing our best to socially distance and do our part so that we can do this safely and also be here for you and bring you the news that you expect and rely on, the daily CDC briefings. Everything that we normally bring to you, we are committed to being here for you. So we're only able to do that because folks like you support this service and believe in it and say, this is important to me. And maybe maybe you're one of those people last few weeks, months even now, you've been listening a little bit more closely because there's this big issue in our midst, obviously, that's affected pretty much every aspect of life from, you know, agriculture to education mm-hmm. to business, lots of that. And of course, we will be exploring those topics more in the coming days and weeks through our deep dive that we're doing in the news department, really looking at the effects of this pandemic and talking with a lot of you out there. So that's another thing to listen up for and something that we are doing here, thanks to folks like you who have called 1-800-866-1475 and online at mainpublic.org.
Perhaps you've never made the jump to membership before. Today, this could be the time you change that when you call 1-800-866-1475. You will join tens of thousands of other people around Maine and beyond who believe in this service, who want to make it possible, who believe in getting the news, the information, the entertainment, the conversations, the connections out there, such as with Maine Calling. You do so much when you support Maine Public. That's why we're asking you to think about what the service means to you and then call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainepublic.org and do what you can to help keep these conversations going.
Thanks very much to Jean in Kennebunk with a nonprofit by the name of Sea Glass Performing Arts. They have called in. Thank you so much for that pledge of support. It's you know, so important now.
And also Lola in Brooksville, who is increasing their current sustaining donation. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. What a great idea.
It is what that's about. These are folks that are already Evergreen friends. They're already giving automatic monthly gifts, but they're increasing it just a little bit. Who knows? $2, $5, $10, $50. The amount is up to you, mm-hmm. but it's a way for current members to do a little bit extra during this Pledge From Home membership campaign.
A lot of folks we see have been doing that. Karen Jimenez in South Thomaston, thank you so much. A current Evergreen also increasing their donation. And Mark Zobel in Orono, thank you so much for doing that. Again, if you're an Evergreen friend already, thank you so much for all that you do each and every day here on Maine Public. And if you're increasing that gift, thank you extra.
Neil Wellner from Harpswell, who left the note, thank you. You are good folks. Well, thank you, the members. You're good folks. It's a great community here. It's a great family, and you can be part of it when you call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainepublic.org and do what you can for your station.
You know, every person doing what they can, giving what they can, is at the heart of every program you hear on Maine Public Radio. Maine Calling is one of them, and the news and everything you hear is made possible because folks like you. Won't you call now, 800-866-1475, and thank you. Thank you.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, pet care in a time of COVID-19. Our guests are two veterinarians. Megan Vaught is a criticalist with Maine Veterinary Medical Center. And Christine Calder is Director of Behavior Services at Midcoast Humane in Brunswick. We invite you to be part of the conversation. Send your brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment on today's Facebook post, or give us a call. A different number than Jen Mitchell and Nick Woodward just gave you. Our number for Maine Calling, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll start with Lynn, who's calling from Owl's Head. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a general question about tick prevention. My dog is a 13-year-old mixed breed terrier mix, and he takes NexGard and on a monthly basis. And last year, my vet recommended they also wear one of those collars because it was a tough year for ticks. And I'm just wondering what I hear that there are detrimental effects from him, you know, that could happen to the dog if they take this stuff. And I know it's really lethal on ticks because I find dead ticks on him. So I'm wondering what you would have to say about that. And are there natural remedies that you're aware of in Maine that might work for him better?
All right, Dr. Vaught.
I think, unfortunately, I think there aren't a lot of great natural products that do as much care as the NexGard and the collars and other companies' products. I definitely understand those concerns, and every individual is a little bit different to how they respond and which product works best for them. But the concern in this area for the prevalence of all of our tick-borne diseases, which can be potentially life-threatening. I think the tick-borne or the tick-borne products are the most helpful in trying to prevent those things. So I would recommend continuing the NexGard. If we're finding that we're having a tick season like last year, which we probably will, then I would also recommend to listen to their recommendations and use the collar as well. That combo therapy can be really beneficial because the tick seasons can be really, really problems, you know, have a huge problem. And unfortunately, like I said, in this area, Lyme disease, anaplasma, ehrlichia are all really potentially concerning.
Lynn, thank you so much for your question. I'm sure many people have that question. We're going to go to Ben, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a behavior question for the vets. It's about combating anxiety. I have a 6-year-old little terrier mix who absolutely hates riding in the car. She's a little bit apprehensive with me, but when she rides in the car with my fiance, well, she has a tendency of pooping all over the car, on my fiance, in her lap, in her crate. When we've tried crating her for car rides, she slips out of harnesses, and I want to know how to help her overcome this.
Ben, thank you so much for that question. Dr. Calder, I also had a dog who hated the car. Give us some tips.
Well, that actually is very common. And so, you know, there are different ways that we can work through that. I mean, sometimes these dogs are actually nauseous or, you know, they feel, and that actually reduces increases their stress level if they're nauseous. And so sometimes using anti-nausea medications like Serenia can be beneficial in those cases. But, you know, other times it is, you know, a true anxiety. And so, you know, one of the things is when they're younger or is taking them for short little rides where fun things happen. They go for a, you know, a fun walk. They get, you know, some pup ice cream, that kind of thing, so that they associate those car rides with a very pleasant experience. Also, though, using a crate or a carrier can be very beneficial. It makes them feel a little more secure. You can even cover it. Using Adaptil, which are pheromone sprays, wipe the inside of the carrier. That can be helpful as well. Playing music. There's actually a music CD or MP3 where it's through a dog's ear. That can be beneficial in the car as well. You know, and those things can all be helpful. Sometimes, though, especially if you're seeing their stress level to the point where they're eliminating and, you know, just because they're that uncomfortable, medications can sometimes be very beneficial for these guys as well.
Thank you, Ben, for your call. Thank you. I'm going to move on. Let me see here. Jumped up to get a ringing phone there. Let's say we'll go to Barbara in Booth Bay Harbor. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you? I have a question. I recently, this winter, had a litter of puppies. I have presently 2 standard poodles. One's the mom. And I kept one of the puppies. And every time I take one dog out at a time for a walk. And as soon as I open the door, the puppy just screams, just is anxiety, full of anxiety. And I was wondering, I've tried occupying the dog with marrow bones with peanut butter on the sides, you know, and that doesn't help. And I was wondering if there's anything that the vet could come up with for that.
Dr. Calder, back to you.
Yeah, so it's when you take one dog for a walk, but not the other one. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Can you walk them together? Is that difficult to do?
Yeah, because she's a little bit, I'm older and she's a little bit too strong for me to take 2 of them at a time.
Right.
Anyway, it's tough, you know, and I live right in town and it's going to be in the winter. It's not so bad, but in the summer when I have the windows open and the screen doors in, it's going to be really difficult.
Right, right. Is there like a safe spot in your house where your dog could go, like where she can't, you know, see out the windows and watch you walk away, you know, because that can be very helpful too, if you can, you know, just so that they're not seeing you walk away with the other dog, because that, you know, that can be, you know, stressful. And so having like a place, a bedroom or even a crate or somewhere that's away from the windows, and then you know, practice sending your dog there every single day and good things happen there. You know, that might be where we get a food dispensing or a puzzle toy, you know, even if you're not leaving to go for a walk. And then it becomes a routine. And so that can be something that you can use, that when you do start to take the other dog for a walk, before you get everything ready, your shoes on, get the leash out, you know, put that dog away in that special safe haven and then mm-hmm. take your other dog for a walk. And so sometimes that can be, you know, very beneficial because they're not seeing you walk away and yet they've got a very positive association with that safe haven that you've established over time.
Great. Well, that sounds logical. And it's a very small house, so I can put her in my bedroom, which, you know, would be good, and close the door
right.
and give her treats in there or whatever, and then see if that works. All right.
Yes, yes, yes. And even something like an Omega ball or a snuffle mat, these are just different types of food dispensing and puzzle toys that take them a little bit more time to work on. Mm-hmm. And so those things can be very beneficial. And you can even use a portion of their own food, so we're not so worried about them gaining weight. But,
right.
you know, dogs are foragers, so they like to problem solve. They like to look for food. They like to scavenge. And so these are some of the ways that we can occupy their brain, but also, you know, provide a basic need for them and actually reduce their overall stress level.
Great. Well, Barbara, good luck to you, and thank you for calling. We're going to go to Katie on Facebook, writes, not a COVID question, but as spring is finally arriving, pests are coming into the house as well as pets. Any tips on pet-safe pest control for the house, such as ant killer? Dr. Vaught, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that those are great products that everyone definitely needs to use. I just would try to put them in an area that your pet won't be able to get into. Ant bait and things like that, thankfully, are not a huge problem if they do get into it, but you'll probably want to see your veterinarian or an emergency service. But the actual product in there is not a huge deal. But I think a lot of those products are hard, certainly, when I hear those concerns. There aren't great, perfect ones because we need them in some sources. But I think trying to find a good location, like, you know, in a corner under your refrigerator or something like that, where you might not have them be able to get into the house, you know, get into the actual bait trap or something like that, so that your pets are safe as well.
An email from Sam, just wanted to add that porcupine encounters are a big concern for dogs this time of year. My dog had a bad run-in with a porcupine and got hundreds of quills in him. I saw lots of other dogs with quills at the emergency vet this weekend. I am new to Maine and wasn't aware of how common porcupines are here or how dangerous quills can be. Dr. Vaught, are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, it's the season, unfortunately. Kind of early spring, early summer is mating season, so there's a lot of porcupines out, and they are fun to chase, it seems like, and that we have had a ton of them recently for various families that are coming in and needing to have the quills removed. I think trying to avoid them or trying to avoid those dusky hours are probably the best, but they can also be out during the day. I think the best thing is also just to kind of get your pet seen as soon as possible, because those quills can migrate and cause a lot of problems if they are broken off or we try to remove them at home and then there are pieces under their skin, that they can migrate for up to many weeks and provide, you know, potentially cause major injuries and migrate into the chest or into the belly and cause big, big problems.
Mm, so that would be on the list of see your veterinarian right away.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. A quick email from Jonathan. Why does my 10-month-old puppy like to eat dog poop? And more importantly, how can I get her to stop? Dr. Calder, you've never had this question before, right?
Oh, no, never, never. So that's very common, too. You know, they like to clean up after themselves. It's actually a normal behavior. And so it's something, though, that can become a pretty bad habit. Sometimes there's a medical reason. I mean, sometimes it's diet related. They're, you know, but most of our pets are on, you know, pretty adequate diet. And so a lot of times it's really just about cleaning up the yard, you know, ASAP, so that they just don't have access to it.
All right. Well, if you have a question for Drs. Megan Vaught or Dr. Christine Calder, both veterinarians, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can get a brief email in to talk@mainpublic.org. tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Now, for just a few minutes, we're going to go back to Jennifer Mitchell and Nick Woodward in our spring Pledge From Home membership drive. Hi, you all.
Hi. And, you know, it's a really great time to support Maine Public Radio. We know things are a little bit different and sounding a little bit different. But, you know, Maine Calling is there for you regardless and bringing you the latest information and lots of, you know, obviously the discussion has been very much around the COVID-19 pandemic, its various facets and fallout, and because it's something that's kind of, you know, separated us, but it's kind of joined us all together as well. 1-800-866-1475 and online at mainepublic.org to pledge from home.
Another thing that stays the same is member support, whether it's so many years ago or whether today, member support is what keeps this engine running. Nearly 70% of what it takes to bring you everything here on Maine Public, whether it's Maine Calling or Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, all the shows. Ooh. It's all made possible by folks just like you calling 1-800-866-1475 or going to mainepublic.org.
Is Maine Calling an essential part of your day? Do you look forward to maybe being a part of that discussion, at least having a seat at the table and hearing what, you know, other folks are asking about? And you know, where else are you going to get this kind of programming, you know, each and every day? Maine Calling, there for you, bringing all kinds of issues into focus and asking you what you think. That's a nice change, isn't it? 1-800-866-1475 and online at mainepublic.org to help support programs like Maine Calling with Jennifer Rooks.
And being reactive, Maine Calling, of course, having gone to 2 hours recently when to cover
right.
the pandemic issues and really being able to hop on the news of the day and bring this perspective and these conversations, these connections. That's what Maine Calling does so well each and every day, and that's what Maine Public does each and every day, connecting us all to each other through this news, this information. Won't you help keep those connections coming by calling 1-800-866-1475 or going to mainepublic.org?
Well, Maine Public is a place that, you know, helps you sort of, you know, reflect on the world, to learn about what's going on and, you know, take you, it gives you a seat pretty much on every plane to every destination mm-hmm. on the planet, every seat in every concert hall around the world. It's all here for you to help you understand what's going on. It's kind of a big year. It's an election year on top of everything else, already sort of disrupted with daily changing information, different guidance. And, you know, there's been a lot of lack of clarity about what we're all supposed to do. And Maine Public is here for you every step of the way to help you make sense of that each and every day through the daily CDC briefings, our news reports, Maine Calling, all those programs coming together to help us all stay a little bit connected and a little bit informed, because right now that's what we need. If that's important to you, then call now to support it. 800-866-1475.
Join Molly Heron of Falmouth. Join Teresa Crooker of Brunswick, who is increasing her current sustaining donation. That's right, Evergreen Friends. A lot are choosing right now to add a little bit more to that automatic monthly gift that they're making happen. So you can do that, make a one-time gift. You can do whatever you feel like you can do, whether as a new member or a current member, when you call 1-800-866-1475.
More than 70% of our operational budget comes from the community, and that includes you, everybody listening right now. Whether you've given yet or not, you know, the important thing is to make that call of support. Maybe you were a donor a long time ago, kind of let it slip a little bit, thought, well, you know, maybe I should reconnect. You know, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to reconnect with you. So won't you call and support this station? 1-800-866-1475. Your gift today is going to do so much more. It's going to help you with your listening and what you expect, the news, daily information, but it's also going to make it possible for somebody else to benefit from the, you know, the lifelong learning and the daily effortless learning that you find here on Maine Public Radio.
And speaking of learning, there is a really wonderful thank you gift happening right now.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite this one for a long time.
You've heard the Babbel Language Learning App. Mm-hmm. A one-year subscription is yours in exchange for your donation of $15 per month as an Evergreen Friend or $180 as a one-time gift.
That's great. So maybe there's a language you've been hoping to learn: Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Polish, Russian, Dutch, Turkish, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, Indonesian, Indonesian and English.
And English.
Yeah, absolutely. Great for some folks who maybe are new Americans and looking to sort of perfect their English skills. Well, you know, it's all here for you, and we're so grateful for your support. So that's a great little gift to get for just $15 a month.
And it's going to do so much for Maine Public. We are going back to Maine Calling in just about 19 seconds. Won't you call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainepublic.org.
1-800-866-1475 and online at mainepublic.org. Consider what Maine Calling means to you each and every day. And then make that call of support. 800-866-1475. And thank you.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Maine Community Foundation, working with donors to expedite funding to nonprofits in this unprecedented time. Learn more at MaineCF.org. Buy Sell My Comic Books, helping to organize and appraise comic book collections of all sizes. Details at SellMyComicBooks.com. And buy The Milk House, a Maine dairy farm, producing organic whole milk yogurt, available statewide at independent grocers and some Hannafords. Maine Milk House.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling, and today we're talking about veterinary care. My guests are Christine Calder, Director of Behavior Services at Midcoast Humane in Brunswick, and Megan Vaught, a criticalist with the Maine Veterinary Medical Center. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to David, who's calling from Durham, New Hampshire. Hi, David. Go ahead. David in Durham, New Hampshire, are you there?
I am. Sorry, I just lost the connection for a second.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm actually a veterinarian down here in New Hampshire, and I think I missed the beginning of the show where I'm sure you guys talked about curbside veterinary care, but I was wondering if either of the doctors were still performing curbside care, how they felt not only the clients are responding to it, but more importantly, if they felt any behavior changes from their patients. We're seeing actually positive changes in our patients when they're not with their owners for their examinations. They're behaving quite nicely.
Oh, interesting. Megan, are you finding that, Dr. Vaught?
Yeah, I think for the most part, we are definitely doing curbside. We've been doing it from the very beginning. And I think even with some of the changes in protocols recommended, you know, through our area, we probably will continue to do curbside for a while. But I think for the most part, it's been going really well. Through the emergency room, definitely see a wide variety of cases and the patients in different kind of perspectives. But certainly, I think that I agree. They do have a little bit of anxiety kind of initially being handed off sometimes, but sometimes there's not at all. But a lot of times I think that they've been handling it very, very well.
I wonder, Dr. Calder, if when the dog person is in, or the cat person is in the examining room with their pet, that there's some sort of anxiety that the pet is sensing.
It could be. I mean, it also could be that it's something that they associate with the exam room itself. So that actually, you know, can be something that has developed over time as they associate such negative things with, you know, that whole picture of, you know, the exam room, the client in the exam room, the pet in the exam room, the vaccines, the, you know, the veterinarian coming in and that type of thing. So that certainly could be a part of it where, you know, we're taking that out of the picture, which would make that, you know, animal feel a little more comfortable. But what we also have to remember about these animals is sometimes they really aren't as comfortable as we think they are. And so if you really start to look at the body language signs, there's different strategies they can use if they're uncomfortable or anxious or fearful. And one of them is more of a shutdown type of mode. So they'll seem like they're okay, but internally they're actually just as anxious as they are, you know, when we see them in the exam room on a normal basis. So we do have to be aware of that as well.
All right. Well, David, I'm so glad you called to take part in the conversation today. I want to go to a really fun email. This is from Lisa. Frequently, my dog, Chloe, will just stare at me. I wish I could read her mind. I feel like she's trying to communicate with me. I talk to her a lot as if she's human, and she has a pretty good vocabulary. Why do you think she just stares for several minutes on end? How should I respond to her when she does this? Dr. Calder, I think this could be an entire program, but sum it up for us.
That's actually wonderful. It shows that you have that they have a wonderful bond with each other. And, you know, we actually, through domestication, have actually changed dogs' behaviors in that they do look to us and, you know, for cues as to what is the next step, what is the next thing we need to do. And the fact that she, you know, makes that eye contact is wonderful. And it really, really shows that the bond is strong between her and Chloe.
Okay. What is she thinking? What is Chloe thinking?
She's thinking, what are we going to do next? What fun thing are we going to do next? And, you know, I really thank you for taking care of me, and I love you. And, you know, and this is a wonderful place to be, and you're a wonderful person to be with.
Okay. I like that. An email from Ellen. My cat has been sneezing quite a bit lately. We've been giving him Vetroscience lysine on and off for the past year, but more than I usually do just recently. And I wanted to know if that's okay. Is there something different in the air this year than previously? He seems to be sneezing quite a bit, and it's gone on for almost a week now. Dr. Vaught, a sneezing cat.
Yeah, it can be a lot of things. It certainly could be allergies. A lot of cats do have chronic herpes virus or upper respiratory infections too that could be getting exacerbated by underlying stress, which we all know we have plenty of right now. So I think there could be many, many things, multifactorial even. So it may be something to kind of touch base with your primary care vet. The lysine treats or whatnot is certainly helpful, especially in those chronic herpes kitties and things like that. But it is certainly something that we have to consider. And I think just kind of keeping track of it, as long as there isn't a lot of like nasal discharge and things like that that is accompanying it, worrying about more of a true infection, then I think you can kind of keep an eye on it.
And is it okay to be giving him a little more lysine than she has usually?
I think so. I mean, I would follow your vet's recommendations, but it is, you know, is something that people will use as needed. So if you've been giving it, you know, just as needed, maybe trying it every day for a couple of days.
An email from Andrew. We have a 10-year-old male Persian cat. He has taken to incessant licking of wooden furniture and other objects. He appears otherwise happy and healthy. We've added a daily multivitamin to his diet. Any thoughts or recommendations? Dr. Calder, you get the most interesting questions.
Yes. Well, that is a very interesting question. And actually, a lot of these cats and dogs, too, that do this excessive type of licking actually have underlying gastrointestinal disease. So many of these cats and dogs might have like a food intolerance or a food allergy. And so, you know, my recommendation would be to have a visit with their veterinarian and just take a look at, you know, what's going on diet wise. And is there anything else that might be contributing to that behavior? It also could be an indication of like some stomach pain or discomfort, like gastric reflux type of thing. And so, you know, just really doing a good workup and seeing their veterinarian to rule that out. If there is not a medical cause, then we do start to look at what other behavioral, you know, conditions can be causing this. I mean, there are some compulsive behaviors that we have. And so that might be something to look into once the medical components are ruled out.
Sure. I'm going to try to squeeze in another question. Email from Michelle. We adopted a brother and sister pair of kittens last week. They were born on Valentine's Day, and the vet we want to see is not making appointments just yet for new patients due to COVID-19 restrictions. What is the best feeding schedule for new kittens, and should we be feeding them wet, dry, or a combination? They're being spayed or neutered today, and we are aware that weight gain will be something we need to watch eventually, so we want to get this pair off to a good, healthy start. Dr. Vaught.
Yeah, I think that depending on their age is certainly going to detect or kind of determine how frequently you need to feed them, but I probably would do at least three meals. And then you can, every kitty is a little bit different as far as personality goes, and so sometimes they need to be fed kind of a combination of wet and dry food, or, you know, just dry food or just wet food. And my cats at home only like dry food for the most part, and that's what we feed them. So I think every individual is going to be a little bit different.
All right. And I'll go to Teresa in Brunswick. Please ask your question super quick. Thank you.
Yes, this question is for Dr. Calder at the Coastal Humane Society. When or if and how could we donate old linens to the shelter again?
So right now we're not taking linens, you know, blankets and that type of thing. I would check back with us in about 2 weeks and see what our plans are if things have changed.
All right. Well, great last question. Thank you, Teresa, for that. And thank you to the two veterinarians who joined us today. The voice you just heard, Dr. Christine Calder, Director of Behavior Services at Midcoast Humane in Brunswick, and Dr. Megan Vaught, a criticalist with Maine Veterinary Medical Center. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Today's Maine Calling will be rebroadcast at 7 this evening. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as helpful links and resources at MaineCalling.org. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Stay with Maine Public for the latest CDC update from CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah. That is coming up in just a few minutes here on Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, or on the website, the Maine Public website. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, sending its heartfelt thanks to Maine healthcare workers, first responders, elder care workers, and all the everyday heroes helping Maine people. By Lamy Wellahan, a Maine-owned family shoe store since 1914, committed to keeping the entire family comfortable, healthy, warm, and dry. And by Levitt & Sons Deli, offering curbside pickup and delivery of chicken pot pie and shepherd's pie. LevittandSons.com.
And by you as well, by calling 1-800-866-1475 or going online to mainepublic.org and clicking or your pledge right there. The most important thing is that we all kind of come together and give what we can in support of this radio service to help us all stay better informed, better connected, and just you know, a little bit smarter. I know I always feel a little bit smarter when I've had public radio on.
And that's why we do take these pledge breaks. This is the Pledge from Home membership campaign. It's our chance to celebrate Maine Public Radio and to offer our financial support. You know that's how this works. Nearly 70% of what it takes to bring you everything from Maine Calling to everything else happens through someone making a pledge just like you. So call 1-800-866-1475 or go to mainepublic.org.
1-800-866-1475, our Pledge from Home membership campaign. We know it sounds a little bit different than maybe it has in times past, but there is somebody there answering your phone, and we're doing our best to do pledge, sort of, you know, distance pledge, trying to socially distance and stay safe and, you know, still do what we need to do to bring you the news and information. And soon we'll be bringing you the live Maine CDC briefing. We've been doing this for a while now on radio, television, online, and that is coming up. 1-800-866-1475 online at mainepublic.org. So many reasons to pick up the phone or go online and make that call of support.
Join Michael Kimball of Cape Nedic, Linda Kling of Old Town, who says, I love public radio. Maine has the best public radio. Also a donor from Opahokwe, New Brunswick, on the way to Sussex. And as you know, one of my favorite things in Sussex.
Yep.
The giant cow.
The giant cow. Now, I knew that was coming.
Giant. When I was a kid, it seemed a lot bigger, but still. So whether New Brunswick, whether Maine, anywhere in the world, Maine Public Radio is there, made possible by people from all over. Won't you join them? Call 1-800-866-1475.
And that is the voice of Nick Woodward here, one of the folks who's very instrumental in helping to bring you the CDC briefing, which we will be going to in just a couple of minutes. And we're just kind of wondering, you know, some of the things that it takes to put that together. We'll be talking about that in just a second. And, you know, I don't know. 1-800-866-1475 online at mainepublic.org. We'll be talking to Nick in just a second when we go to the Maine CDC briefing. But, you know, it's here because folks like you have made that kind of service possible. We want to be here wherever the news is happening. And lately, it's been happening every single day and changing by the minute, pretty much. And we're committed to helping you with that.
And it all comes from support from people just like you. Again, for those of you that have been members so far, thank you so very much. If you have yet to make that call, What a great time to do it right now. Join this family. Call 1-800-866-1475 or head to mainpublic.org. Your support is going to do so much when you make that call. And join this family and help make all of this possible.
1-800-866-1475, online at mainpublic.org. Thank you so much for your support. You're listening to listener-supported Maine Public Radio, WMEH Bangor 90.9, WMEA Portland 90.1, WMEP Camden 90.5, WMEM Presque Isle 106.1, WMED Calais 89.7, WMEW Waterville 91.3, and WMEF Fort Kent 106.5, and online at mainpublic.org.
The Maine CDC briefing coming up in just a little bit. Remember, even that made possible by you when you call 1-800-866-1475 or go to mainpublic.org. That's 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org.
1-800-866-1475, online at mainpublic.org. It's just part of the service here. We've got folks basically pushing all those buttons and making it happen. And thanks to you, 1-800-866-1475, the Maine CDC briefing coming up in just a moment.
All made possible by your support, keeping us connected through news, information, conversations. That is what Maine Public is all about. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. And now we'll take you to the Maine CDC briefing.